But we're joined now in the studio by Allison Rigg. She's the senior voting rights attorney for the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. They represented the plaintiffs in that case that challenged the law in the first place. Covington v. North Carolina is the case that got the Supreme Court ruling last week. Allison, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So that was the basic rundown. And every day it seems like this week, and the big decision from the Supreme Court was last week, Monday. And it seems like every single day from there on out, it's been a new development, a new development, a new development. But it's all in the sense of, hey, we've got this unanimous Supreme Court decision saying we need to redraw the district lines. Let's redraw the district lines. And the people who directly benefit from them being the way they are saying, well, let's hold off on it a little while. Is that basically how it comes down?
That is.
Yeah.
The three-judge panel in Greensboro that unanimously decided these districts were unconstitutional signaled on Friday afternoon they're ready to go. As soon as they get jurisdiction back from the Supreme Court, which just means the Supreme Court has allowed the requisite amount of time for reconsiderations, which aren't going to happen, by the way. The three-judge panel is ready to go. So what we want to see happen in the next week is that three-judge panel getting all the briefing that it needs in front of it, maybe schedule a hearing to probe and understand a little bit more the administrative issues involved in ordering a 2017 election. But the Supreme Court told them they need to do a balancing test. They have to weigh the harms and the extent of the violations against those administrative burdens. We think this is going to be a case where it's not going to be a tough call. The harms and the vast nature of the violations are going to outweigh any potential administrative burden.
Because someone brought this up earlier this week, and I can't stop thinking about this because it's a really radical argument to make, and I feel bad for the fact that I'm making it in front of a live microphone. But with the Supreme Court ruling being the way that it is, and every lower court up to the Supreme Court has agreed that these lines are unconstitutional, they're racially gerrymandered, that means the General Assembly that was elected in 2016, that's in office right now, was elected under an unconstitutional district map, which means every single law they pass is a law that's passed by a General Assembly that's elected under an unconstitutional district map, and I can't get around that now at this point.
In excess of 80% of voters in the state live in unconstitutional state legislative districts, at least one. Mm-hmm. Some live in both an unconstitutional state house and state senate. So yes, it calls into question the legitimacy of every law the General Assembly has passed since being illegitimately elected the first time. And to be clear, they've passed a lot of unconstitutional laws since they were illegitimately elected. But it affects everyone. And it really, aside from the bad laws that the legislature is enacting, it really calls into question the confidence that folks have in their representatives. And when their representatives are fighting doing the right thing, fixing these constitutional wrongs, that undermines the integrity of the system, our confidence in our democracy. And these are concerns that allegedly these legislators had when they were enacting voter ID laws. So, you know, stand up, fix this right now so that we can be confident that our legislators are fairly elected.
Which they could do. The General Assembly tomorrow could go in and start redrawing the district lines. They won't without a court order. And so the ball now is in the U.S. Supreme Court's hands still, John Roberts?
Yes, the Supreme Court will rule on our motion to issue the mandate immediately, very soon, today or tomorrow, potentially. And then it goes back to the three-judge panel who have already told us they're ready to hear from us. Mm-hmm. The truth is the General Assembly could very well have new plans already. They're
right.
Just sitting on them.
Right.
So there's no question in my mind that they could be redrawing, have new maps out by the end of the week if they so desired. All indications so far that they don't.
Speaking with Allison Riggs again, Southern Coalition for Social Justice, scsj.org is the website.
Yes.
I had to remember that off the top of my head. scsj.org is the website to go there and find out more about the coalition, about Covington v. North Carolina, which is the case that we're talking about. So the ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, we're expecting that like by the end of the week probably? Or
yeah.
Is that a maybe or a probably?
It's a probably.
Okay.
Chief Justice Roberts can act on the motion on his own. He doesn't have to refer it to the whole court. There won't be a hearing.
Right.
They'll email each other, do whatever they do to talk about these kinds of procedural motions that don't need a full debate, mm-hmm. if you will. So, I mean, it should be quickly. They, you know, it's fully briefed before Chief Justice Roberts. So we're fairly confident we'll hear from him soon.
And then it gets kicked back down to the lower court, and they hold hearings, they request briefs, they get arguments, and then they issue a ruling. And by all accounts from the judges, like you said, they want to do this as soon as possible. So what's the time frame on that? Are we thinking end of the month, beginning of July, maybe?
I think it'll be sooner than that. I think they'll want briefing as soon as they get jurisdiction back. I think they'll want briefing within days.
Mm-hmm.
We do think it would be wise for them to have a very short evidentiary hearing on the administrative burdens potential administrative burdens associated with a new election. We've had elections under new redistricting plans ordered in shorter periods of time than this before. So there's ample precedent for this. We're hoping to have a plan going forward by the end of the month. So not the court taking action and some resolution.
Right. Again, speaking with Allison Riggs, if the lower court does order a special election, how much time would it take for the state to organize it? Like, what's the minimum amount of time it would take? And how far away from November of 2018 would it have to be in order to be feasible?
I mean, under a normal schedule, if you're holding a November elections, the pre-election events are essentially already happening by this point. But there's a lot of room to shorten some of those time periods. So, for example, where you may have filing for candidate filing period, where candidates come forward and say they want to run for office, where you might have that for open for weeks,
mm-hmm.
There's precedent for it being open 3 days, 4 days. Likewise, the election officials in the state are good at getting things done on tight timelines. So, you know, in an ideal world, we want to start immediately, but there's still some time to get things done. The amount of time you have for some periods, like how long you have before you have to send out ballots, that can be shortened.
Mm-hmm.
So we still think there's enough time for there to be November elections. The sooner we get that started, obviously, the better, the less burden on the state. Mm-hmm. What the state wants to do is drag this out and then say the burden is too great. And when I say the state, I mean the state legislative
leaders. The General
leaders.
Assembly, yeah.
North Carolina has said is not trying to drag this out. The Attorney General's office.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that I think the lower court was asking earlier this month, right? Who actually is the state of North Carolina? To what extent does that matter in terms of their ultimate decision?
Well, I think it's one of the balancing factors. So should the court decide that correctly, that yes, the Attorney General gets to speak for the state of North Carolina, and on behalf of the state of North Carolina, the Attorney General is saying this is better for our people, and we can get this done, then I think that will factor in favor of special elections. When the only people opposing the special elections are the legislative leaders benefiting from their unconstitutional actions, that's all going to fit into this calculus of whether a special election is really needed.
If the lower court orders a special election, I assume the state legislative leaders will try to appeal back to the Supreme Court, right? Would that?
I would expect them to file, it's called an emergency stay application, mm-hmm. but I likewise would expect that to be denied. The three-judge panel knows what it has to do this time to satisfy the Supreme Court's instructions, the balancing that it has to do. They're going to make the appropriate findings, and their ruling will stand.
So again, scsj.org is the website to go to find more information about the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. This case that we're talking about, which again is Covington v. North Carolina, which is one of, what is it now, 147 different gerrymandering cases that are going through the courts. It's six, right, I think? Yeah.
There's a fair number.
It's a number of different cases, yeah. And this is racial gerrymandering, but there's partisan gerrymandering going through the courts.
That's
now.
Right.
What is the status on that? I know the Wisconsin case is closer to the Supreme Court than our cases, right?
Yeah, the court is considering now whether to take the Wisconsin case, but the North Carolina case is going to trial in a week and a half, and then we'll head up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court could decide not to do anything with Wisconsin just yet and wait for North Carolina.
Is the Southern Coalition involved in that case, too?
Not in the Wisconsin case.
Oh, no, in the North Carolina case, though.
Yeah, we represent the League of Women Voters and other plaintiffs and groups in that case, so going to trial in a week and a half.
Again, we're speaking with Allison Riggs, so we got to let you go in a second. But what has surprised you the most in this whole process?
I wish I could say the resistance of the General Assembly surprised me the most, but since 2011, it's become standard. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you hope that even if you have differences of opinions, that elected officials still have in their minds the best interests of voters, and that's not what we're seeing here. So that does disappoint me and shock me.
SCSJ.org for the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. Anything else that people need to know about this case, how they can get involved, if at all?
If and when we have a special election, it's going to be really important to turn out. So there's going to be lots of GOTV and voter registration and groups out there doing work. Volunteer, help, and make sure you participate.
Would there have to be a primary?
There would.
Okay, so that would be pretty quick then if you want a November general. So
probably a September primary,
yeah,
and a November general.
So everyone get ready for that. That might be coming in the fall. Allison Riggs, again, Southern Coalition for Social Justice, SCSJ.org to get more information. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.